Good to be with you to share God's word again. I was initially expecting that there would be a little, you know, we've been having these little quips about before you go, and I've been loving these little one-liners. It's not going to be there this morning, but if you were coming to the end of your life, that's what we're looking at, the words of Jesus. Just before he dies. So before you die, what would you want to say? You know, I give some thought to that. I guess if I still had all my wits about me and family was in the room, the first thing I'd say is don't fight over the scooter. Yeah. Or I might say, before you burn all my sermon manuscripts, you have to read them once. Seriously, I would say, whatever you do, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus' discourse wasn't quite that short. If you would take out your Bibles and put them on, perhaps as I introduce, your laps. We could call it your laptop, and you're about to get a text message. John chapter 14, page 1081. It's Thursday evening in this particular setting. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and this is a rather intimate account. I want to encourage you as an exercise in this time of Lent at some point to sit down and in one sitting read through John 3 through 17. It's a little short story in the upper room. You know, something that really changed my life was in seminary. I was asked to, it was an assignment, go and sit down and read through one of the Gospels. One sitting. You might want to try that. This would be the shorter version. But as we just heard, it's about story. And something happens when you read the Gospels, and this is simply the story it's meant to be. I guarantee you it will bless you. And when you read through, coming back to John 13 to 17, you'll notice how much Jesus repeats himself. And we've been looking at some of these themes. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ed preached about how we are to love one another. Jesus comes back to that. Last week, Pastor Martin preached about how we are to pray. Ask the Lord. Several times throughout, Jesus says to the disciples, and pray, ask me. Encourages them. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to be fully accessible to you through prayer. It's like he was saying, I'm leaving, but I got my phone with me, so call me whenever you want. Don't hesitate. And today in our passage, John 14, beginning of verse 15, Jesus puts the ball back in our court. It's like he just finished letting them know, I'm at your beck and call, but now I'm going to ask you, are you at my beck and call? I'll do whatever you ask me. Will you do what I ask you? I'm available. Are you available? Listen carefully to what Jesus says. Such a loaded passage. John 14, beginning at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, And he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be or is in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, and here Jesus is talking about Resurrection Day, when Jesus appeared only to his disciples and not to the world. And it's on that day that the lights went on. And as John records later in his gospel, that's when Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They got it. So on that day, says Jesus in verse 20, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not the traitor Judas, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now. Let us leave. I guess they got up to leave, and Jesus continued to, or they proceeded to get up anyways, and Jesus continues, as we'll look in later weeks, to speak with them. Well, so much in this passage we can't begin to unpack at all, and I hope that in the end you're not too overwhelmed. I think the disciples must have been overwhelmed a little bit with what Jesus all said. If I was there, I would have said, whoa, 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 back up. You said enough. I can't quite get that. So much. Let's start back at verse 14. You may want to keep your Bibles over. Verse 15, actually, I said, it's our passage that's on that little card. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I don't know how you respond to that. If you love me, keep my commands. Doesn't that sound a little bit like a guilt trip? Sometimes in our marriages we can use that kind of language, right? When we want something and our spouse is giving us a little bit of resistance or simply isn't responding. You know, if you really loved me, you would do what I asked. Well, okay, that's just our marriage. But anyways, let's be clear, that's not how Jesus is speaking here. That's not the Spirit. What he's doing is he's describing what is really the nature of any relationship or friendship. See, it's simply a matter of a fact that if you are close to someone and you're friends, like with Jesus, the most faithful friend we can have, that if we love them, when they ask for something, we are right there ready to do it. Jesus repeats this truth about this relationship that we are to have with him in verse 23. If you look down to there, he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." Again, he's not threatening. He's just saying the way it is. And then he repeats the same promise that he made back in verse 16. "My Father will love them and will come to them, will make our home with them." That's the Spirit. And then he says the opposite truth. "Anyone who doesn't love me won't obey my teaching." It's just the way it is. You care, you love, you listen, you obey. Like Jesus with us, remember? What is it you need? Because I love you, I want to supply your need. Ask me. Now, because he loves us, he, as Pastor Martin explained, he's not going to just give us whatever we ask. But if we truly love him and he loves us, we will be less hesitant to ask amiss. And because he loves us purely, he will not answer in a way that is amiss. We're always happy to just serve each other the way we ought. And because Jesus loves us, he's going to not only provide for us, but he's going to also, because he loves the Father, do the Father's will for our sake. And you may have noticed a little later when he's explaining to his disciples that he's going to leave, he says, you know, if you really love me, you'd be happy I'm going. Because love wishes the best for the other person, right? He's going to a better place. And he said, you'd also be happy because you know that my leaving brings glory to the Father. And that's the purpose of our lives. To give God the greater glory. I'm going to do that. I'm going to accomplish his will. And I'm going to even use the devil in the process, he says. Because he's going to tempt me, and he's going to push me all the way to the brink. But I'm going to show this world that's going to be out against me that I love to the very end. And I do exactly what my Father asks of me. You see, love and truth are never separate. You love someone, you're going to be true to them. Jesus loves the Father. He's going to be true to him. Do exactly what he says. And this whole passage in John 13 starts with, "And Jesus showed his love to the very end." So the real question becomes when we get down to what are we doing with our life is, do you really love the Father? Do you really love Christ? With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because if you do, you will do what he asks. It's just the way it is. But now the disciples are in a dilemma, because Jesus says this, but he's about to leave as he's explaining. My dad, when I used to drive off to college and leave Lynn behind, because she was in Winnipeg and I'd go south to college in Iowa at Dort, as some of you know, he would say, "Absence makes the heart grow fonder." slim comfort. And my wife never said that to me, but my father did. And Jesus isn't saying that here either. He's saying, "I know I'm going away, but don't worry. Absence will make your heart feel." No, he says, "I'm going away. I'm going to stay with you." That's much more of what my wife would say. "Don't worry, dear. I'm with you in spirit." Look at verse 15, if you will. I'll ask the Father. He's talking to his disciples now. They want to be obedient. But he's leaving. But I'll ask the Father. He'll give you another advocate to help you, be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Look at verse 23. "My Father will love them, will come to them, will make our home with them." Verse 26 again. "The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. If you love me, you'll obey me. But now you're leaving." Yeah, but I'm going to stay with you so that you can continue to love and obey you. That's why I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. It's called the Advocate here. The word in the original is paraclete. You've maybe heard of that. Para is the same half word that we use in parallel. It means beside. And clete comes from kleos, to call. So it's someone who's been called to the side of. And we don't have an exact translation in our language, and so as you get to various translations, they use different words, counselor, advocate, friend, says the message. Helper is another word. But in that context, the original one, the idea was that when somebody gets in trouble, they'll send someone to be beside him or her, to walk with them every step of the way. And this word really has legal overtones to it. It's like the Spirit is God's legal counsel, commissioned by the court of heaven to come beside us in our times of need. So this advocate is something like if there could be such a thing, a free defense lawyer. Comes to our side, always there. What do you need to know? How do you have to live? And if I'm going to defend you, I need to know everything about you, first of all. So we share everything with the Spirit. A good lawyer wants to have the full truth so that they can lead you in all the right ways, informing us of rights, responsibilities, uncertainties. The Spirit is like, well, let's call that our conscience. There's a song from the Newsboys calls the Spirit a teleprompter in the brain. That's the conscience. Speaks to us. An advocate also pleads our cause. The Spirit is beside us, but the Spirit, and within us, but the Spirit also communicates with the Father in our defense, so that when we mess up, don't listen to the Spirit. He says, here, in our defense, he, she, need your help. Forgive. You can't afford to ignore the Spirit, therefore. That's what's called in the Bible a seared conscience. God's trying to tell you something. You keep ignoring it. You get to a point where we create our own little hell of our own. And the Spirit's not of any good anymore. So here's the disciples. They're not in a nice situation. Jesus is leaving. They know that the world that they're in is not Jesus-friendly at the moment, and the next few days is going to really show that to be the case. But even in subsequent history, the disciples, you know what they faced, persecution and hardship from every level. And so they need this helper. They need this advisor, this advocate, so that every step of the way, they know who they are and what to do. That's how they carry on. I will send you this gift, another counselor who essentially picks up where Jesus leaves off. That's why he says at times, I'm leaving, but I will be with you. I remember at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and just before Jesus ascends, what does he say? His last words, really, very last words. And I am with you always. Through his Spirit, who is at home in us. And through the Spirit, and this is ultimately the purpose why Jesus came, we're able to pick up where Christ leaves off in this sense, that we live his good life. We obey. Isn't that what Jesus is talking about? If you love me, you will obey me. And I'll send the Spirit so that we can be in this relationship still. You'll still know I love you. You're still able to love me. And you will obey me as I listen to you. Jesus came to restore us to relationship with God. That's why he went to die, and then his job was done, as it were. His job. Because he had made us right with God through his death on the cross. And now he says, now that you're right with God, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, my presence, so that you, in right relationship, knowing you're loved, can obey me. It's why God made you in the beginning. That's what an image bearer is. It's somebody that does the Father's will, like the Father, like the daughter. It's the purpose of the Spirit is to therefore take the person of Christ, as it were, plant him within us, and help us to live this Christ-like life. I'd like to read to you what our confessions say about the work of the Spirit in this regard. And I think we can maybe have this up on the screen. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. You get to the end of it, and this is the question about what is my only comfort in life and death. And here's what it says in question and answer 1. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life, makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's what Jesus is talking about in John. Or take the contemporary testimony, paragraph 31. Jesus stays with us in the Spirit. Jesus stays with us in the Spirit, who renews our hearts. The Spirit moves us to faith. The Spirit leads us in the truth. The Spirit stands by us in our need. That's the advocate. And makes our obedience fresh and vibrant. A disciple is someone who today cooperates fully with the Spirit of Jesus. We no longer let our sinful nature dictate. We let God's guidance counselor show the way and program how we think and how we act. And we'll only grow spiritually, to the extent we're ready to show God's Spirit full hospitality and let God infiltrate every closet of what the Bible calls this house of God, our body, where the Spirit dwells. What a different world this would be if everyone submitted themselves fully to Christ's Spirit. And that's the goal. It will come. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. Look again at verse 17. When Jesus, in the midst of all this, teaches the other side, the world cannot accept him, that is, the Spirit. Because the world neither sees him nor knows him. Now, this is the world of unbelief. See, they miss Jesus, they're going to miss the Spirit. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, when you hear that, there's something about this that is troubling. Because there's a part of all of us, there's a part of God that says, I want the whole world to know. It's why he sent Jesus. But the world cannot accept him. Now, that's the world of unbelief, not just the globe world. And it's Judas. We might call him seeker-sensitive Judas. He picks up on this. He heard that word of Jesus. The world cannot. Judas said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 22. And that's what happened, in fact. After the resurrection, Jesus didn't march into the streets of Jerusalem anymore. He just showed himself after to his own. And it's like, why not? Well, Jesus knows. He'd have been crucified again. And if you think if Jesus revealed himself to the world today, that our world would not crucify him, then you don't know our world well enough, because they would. Notice Jesus' reply. It's like did you hear him, Jesus? Why would you show yourself to us and not the world? Verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Here's Christ's point to all of us who have a legitimate burden for this world that we live in, and it's this. It's not our job to change the world. That's the Spirit's work. And the way to change the world is for you and I to submit to the Spirit. In the end, you only answer to Jesus for yourself and for how you have submitted to him. Loving him, obeying him. Because anyone who loves will obey. And if they loved me, they'd obey me. But they don't love me. And if I went back, they still won't love me. And they won't love you. But you got to love me. And you need to obey me. Jesus comes back to this, and I think Pastor Ed will pick up on this next week. If your Bible is still open, in John chapter 16, in verse 7 and on, he talks again. He repeats himself in these several chapters. He talks again about the Spirit coming. And in verse 7 of chapter 16, he says, I tell you very honestly, truly, it's for your good I'm going away, because if I don't go away, the advocate, there's that word again, will not come to you. But if I go, and he is, I'll send him to you. Then this, when the advocate, the Spirit, comes, the Spirit will prove, or some translations, the Spirit will convict the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. The Spirit will convict the world about sin, says Jesus there, because people do not believe in me. Sin at its deepest root is unbelief or living without Christ. When the Spirit shows Christ, an awareness of sin develops. And that's the Spirit's entire job through us, is to reveal Christ by how we love and obey. First job, teach about sin. Second, verse 10, about righteousness. Because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And that's what we've been talking about. Righteousness is living rightly, and the advocate, legal counsel given to you from heaven through the Holy Spirit, will show you what's the right way to go. And thirdly, verse 11, about judgment. The Spirit will teach, yes, about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Satan is called the accuser, and he's always got his finger pointing at you, and he wants to make you feel so bad you'll run from God and any concept of holiness. And the Spirit helps bring God close and makes you realize that in Christ you're no longer condemned. Now, to oversimplify this passage, these are the three points of our Heidelberg Catechism, our confession, in Lord's Day 1. Jesus is really saying the Spirit's going to come and help you know, first of all, about first part of the catechism, sin. How great my sin and misery are. Sometimes the person the most moved by the Holy Spirit is not the one who's the most excited, but it's the one who's the most mournful. Blessed are those who mourn. Second part of the catechism is, I need to know how I am saved. You know, we used to have the three, sin, salvation, and service. How I'm saved, that's no longer judged, as Jesus says. The order's changed. It's okay. Freed from sin. Price paid. Freed, number three, to serve. To live a righteous life. To show how grateful I am to God by an obedient life. Well, as I said at the beginning, so much in this passage. And what's important, really, is not that you hear from me, or Pastor Martin, or Pastor Ed. You can make it to heaven without hearing from any of us, but not from hearing without God. And if you want to hear from him, you need to have an ear for his truth in the Scriptures. And that's why I encourage you to go home and to let this passage, let these words of Jesus marinate in your heart as you hear from him. Before I go, know I'm with you. My love is for you. I'll always be here for you. And I'd like you to be there for me. Close relationship. It will give you peace. I want to end with a song. I want to invite those who are playing, if you'd please come up. It's a beautiful prayer that I think summarizes as if that's possible, this passage. Fill me, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love the way you love and do what you would do. Breathe on me, Spirit, until my heart is pure and my will is one with yours. So shall I never die.